Alrighty, welcome everybody to another episode of the Iowa Gravel Series Podium Podcast. My name is Chris McQueen. I am your host, and I am here with yet another wonderful guest. We have Joel Huizenga. I tried to get it right the first time, and I still messed it up. So sorry, Joel. He, not too long ago, came in, what was it, third, I believe, at Glenwood?
Third.
And we recently were on a similar course together at Sarah Cooper's Spotted Horse, and he came in second on the 70-mile distance for the Open Men. So we clearly have a fast and capable individual here with us today. Joel, thank you so much for your time and for being on the podcast.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Joel, I mentioned this before. I don't do a ton of research with my podcast episodes or anything. Use this opportunity to get to know you and let you have an opportunity to let the world know a little bit about you as well. So maybe we should just start at the beginning. Where are you? What do you do? And how'd you get into biking?
So currently I'm in Des Moines. I'm a pharmacist at Mercy Hospital here. Just moved here in April. I'd been in Ottumwa for about 10 years before that, doing the same hospital pharmacy sort of thing. A little different, a lot bigger hospital situation, but I'm pretty happy with the move so far. A lot more group rides here when my schedule works out for them. Nice not to ride by myself all the time. I was an okay high school and D3 runner, really more of like 200, 400 guy athletically. And then when I got out of school, I was just generally working out for a while, doing nothing to any real goals, but just staying active. But I'd been doing Rag Bri for almost 15 years now and had never really done anything like specific prep for that so much. I could just get by on being in my early 20s and being in good shape from running track. But then that wasn't working out so much. So I started riding a little bit more and then just kept snowballing. I think really like 2018 is when I started to really do more volume, and 2021 is when I started racing. So third year of it now. Been going pretty well.
Yeah, it has been going pretty well. So let me get this straight. When you're running in college and doing what I would consider sprints, 200 to 400 distance, maybe that's a mid distance for you, but
yeah,
I think of that as a sprint still. What college school were you running for?
So when I was running on a team, I was at Grinnell College. So I was really going there more for school, but I had a team that I was on. Was hurt most of the time, really. My last year, I ran one indoor meet, and then I had stress fractures in both tibia, and that was the end of my season.
I think I've shared this before. There's a comic that I loved that it was basically the four phases of a butterfly going from like a caterpillar to a chrysalis to an emerging butterfly to a beautiful butterfly, and the different parts are essentially labeled. The caterpillar is runner, the chrysalis is injured runner, the emerging butterfly is the main, and then the last one is become an amazing cyclist, basically.
Yeah, that's a big part of it, is that like when I started riding more, I've been able to keep doing it without developing any sort of overuse injury or anything. As long as I keep the rubber side down, I'm not getting hurt.
Yeah. So you started, I definitely want to dig into Rag Bri. I actually did Rag Bri for the very first time this year. I was a Rag Bri virgin, but had a good experience. Although I'm critical of Rag Bri, but I think everybody knows what it is and that's fine. And then, so I would love to dip into Rag Bri. And then also, did you start riding in Ottumwa road or gravel? What was your first cycling?
Yeah.
What did your first bike look like?
So at that point, I only had a road bike. And as I started doing more of the options for routes, staying on pavement there were a little limited. It got repetitive. And so I was like, I'm going to get a gravel bike and be able to ride different stuff. I'll get the same stretch of road every day. And then, yeah, kind of went from there.
Two bikes now, or what's your N plus looking like?
Four right now. I've got an old flat bar commuter. I got a ride to work, got a road bike. And then throughout last summer, fall, I put together a newer bike for racing on gravel. So I've got two gravel bikes right now.
Okay. All right. Then let's go back to RagBri a little bit. How did you get started doing RagBri? Because 15 years of RagBri, that is significant because either your skin looks amazing or you are a very old 40-year-old or you're awesome, or you're in your 30s. And that means that you started doing RagBri like when you were a teenager. So, and maybe it's a mix of those. I don't know. You don't have to disclose anything if you don't want to, but when did you start? How did you get started in RagBri?
So the full origin story for that is we've got like a second cousin who had started doing it in, I don't know, 96, I think, something like that. And one of the early years for them, it went through Iowa City and their group stayed with my parents. And I was young enough at that point that they're just some weirdos in tents in our backyard. But my older brother was in his teens enough that one of them tried to take him down to the beer garden that foam inflatable beer hats that he thought were great. It had put the seed in his mind more than mine, really. But it would have been like 2007. He finished an enlistment in the Marine Corps and was on terminal leave, or wasn't really doing anything in the summer. And it's like, I want to do RagBri. That was our first year. It was just us and one of his old college buddies. They went that first year and we did our own thing for the first half of the week. And then we joined up with my cousin's group for the second half. Really learned the ropes from that group that had already been doing it for a decade at that point. And so we were hooked at that point. So we've missed some years here and there, but kept doing it. So I was 21 my first year, which probably helped.
Like I said, it was my first year and I thankfully had a buddy that had done it for several years, and he had a buddy that he was with that. And so it was this trio that we went and did it, and there was 50,000 people this year. And did you do RagBri here in 2023?
So with the new job, I didn't have enough time off to do the full week. I did Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. I think that's why I was able to work out.
So you made sure to get the hottest days.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. So it's, for me, it was an interesting experience because that first day heading out, all I could describe it as, if you really love LA traffic, but you've always wanted it to be on a bicycle, then RagBri is your thing. Because the roads were just completely full of folks. So for you as a 21-year-old going into this and having some experience, what was it to learn the ropes? What did that mean once you were with your cousin that you felt like you were like really learning the ropes with RagBri?
So the first few days that we were on our own, like we were staying more in general campgrounds, like doing, even if we didn't want to, like other people were getting up at 5 a.m. or whatever. So getting up early, starting early, like being much more in the crowds. And like, I think those first few days we were probably done on the route by 2 or, and then getting in with the group, like I had their own place to stay. Hey, we don't need to start riding until 8. And if we're done at 6 or 7, that's maybe early. Really taking your time out on the route more, not being in the busiest parts of the day. Maybe we're in the heat a little bit more, but.
What's over the, as you look at your experience over the years with RagBri, what's been the thing that you're like, you know what, this was probably one some of my best experiences on RagBri?
It's hard to pinpoint anything because it's really just becoming a group of friends and just hanging out and bullshitting and then, yeah, just doing dumb stuff. I think it was Mount Vernon one year. They had a camel pen that you could feed. And one of my buddies just mirrored the camel food on his face. And it's almost like it was making out with him.
Yeah, I guess that makes sense. RagBri stuff, right?
Yeah.
I get it. Oh, so this, for me, this is interesting though, because you go from being a pretty darn fast runner to a recreational RagBri style go out and have fun and do stupid stuff, writer, to what changed here, or what was the impetus to get into racing more on your bike? Was it purely around fitness, or was it more? Is it you've had competitive experience in college? Was it wanting to get back into that competitive environment? What kind of drew you back into cycling?
I've always liked pushing pretty hard. With being active, like at some point on the bike, like getting into tracking stuff, got on Strava, started noticing like, oh, I'm moving up on these leaderboards around locally, and started to get the sense that I was decently good at it for a while. And 2020, I was maybe going to start racing, and then everything went crazy. And working in a hospital in a smaller department, I did my chance of being out for any period of time, and then forcing my coworkers to have to pick up if they were down somebody for a long time. So I didn't start until 2021 then with racing. But yeah, for a while I'd been like, you know, I was riding over to the next county over and going for KOMs. So doing these 80-mile days or whatever, where I was going really hard in the middle, and that gave me the sense that maybe I could jump in racing.
Was it your RAGBRAI days that kind of was like, hey, I know I can do 80 miles, so maybe I'll just go out and just do 80 miles? Because as people get into fitness, usually that's not where they start. They maybe start with a commute, or they start with just wanting to go out for 1 or 2 hours. 80 miles, you're pretty sure to at least be 3 or 4 hours on the bike. Was it getting back into that style of riding that interests you from RAGBRAI, or was it something else?
RAGBRAI is really pretty different, because it might be a long day in the end, but the way we've gotten into it, if I'm on the bike for an hour straight on RAGBRAI now, that's unusual, I would say. But really, just when I started riding more for fitness, it was just gradually building up. For a while, maybe just doing 40 miles nonstop seemed like a lot. I'd just be able to just keep gradually doing a little bit more. Went from having 2 or 3 hours being a long ride to 4 or 5 to the, now I've got time for it, 8 hours, maybe more. Yeah, just kept pushing.
Yeah, that makes sense. I was going to look and see. I know that I've been on Strava for, I wanted to double check this because I don't really think of it in this way, but I think I've been on Strava, going on 10 years. No, even farther, because I have data all the way back to 2011. So I've been on Strava for more than a decade. And for me, I was in the Bay Area, and I was trying to figure out where I could go and not get lost. And someone mentioned Strava, and we started, and I ended up getting a GPS so that I could put some sort of routes on. Because I don't think I even had a, 2011, gosh,
it's pretty early. GPS.
It's pretty early. It's not quite pre-iPhone days. iPhone had already come out, but it was pretty early, right? And so I just wanted to not get lost. So I wanted to go find cool things and not get lost. But Strava in general, I think, has changed. Did you say that you really only got onto Strava in 2020 or looking for KOMs, or what was your experience there?
I think I probably first started using it in 2018, just to track mileage and stuff like that. And then I was probably doing workouts with heart rate and stuff at that time. But I'd found British Cycling had some sort of self-coached like intro to structured training stuff that I was doing for a while. Yeah, started doing that around then. And then, started noticing that I was moving up some stuff and got a little more competitive with it. Probably got a power meter a year later around then or so, and doing more serious training, more volume. I think still over the last 5 or 6 years, I've just continually been doing more and more time to training. And I think that's maybe the biggest benefit when you're racing for 3 or 4 hours is just having more time on the bike really helps.
Yeah, having that cardio base makes a huge difference. And it sounds like, again, I'm reading between the lines here a little bit, or wondering what's, because in to start being on podiums with the likes of Jonathan Waite and Lee Bumgar and Jake Johnson and everything like that, that doesn't come out of nowhere. There has to be a big base there, and also some concerted effort. Do you think your experience in pharmacy and in the fact that you understand the body, has that helped you as you've tried to design your training, or versus being coached as a college athlete and being told just run hard and break bones if you need to? do you feel like your understanding of physiology has helped you as you've tried to realize, oh, I've got some potential here. I have some desire. What do I need to do to get to that next step?
I just started more with from the running side of it. Like I'd always been a very curious athlete when I was participating in it. I didn't want to just know what I was supposed to be doing that day, but like why we were doing it and what the benefit was supposed to be. And really got into that. I actually did some volunteer high school coaching when I was in pharmacy school. Jumped into that. So I had some experience with coaching others and also myself on the running side that really carried over more than necessarily the professional work that I do. Other than being about like human bodies, there really isn't that much overlap between my work and training.
Yeah. What did you coach? High school track or was it cross country?
Yeah. Yeah, track. I had a couple of years where my schedule lined up and yeah, it was good to stay involved in the sport at that point.
So have you used a coach yourself in this process as you've been working on the bike, or has it really been mostly just self-coaching?
Not on the bike. Like I said, like I found those old British cycling plans. I've done some Training Peaks, like canned plans, trainer road type of stuff, done some extra reading and things, combined my knowledge from running with learning about what the basics are for cycling, how the periodization and workouts are same or different. You just put stuff together that way, figure out what worked for me.
Yeah, I've said this before. I think that in other podcasts and other episodes and stuff that the scientific method is so important as you become an athlete. You're constantly experimenting. You're constantly needing to say, all right, if I put in this stimulus, what sort of response do I get, both with myself and with the environment, growth? And I think it's one of the things that keeps me endlessly curious about it as well, as I think about what people are doing. And there are amazing resources, so much more than what I think I had accessible to me in high school. And a lot of us, right, is you do have Training Peaks and Trainer Road and Zwift and what's the other one? Oh, TriDot. Someone introduced me to recently that's an app for training for triathlons. And so there's so much in the fitness industry anymore that if you have a desire, you pretty much just have to pick something, try it, and go from there. You're going to probably find some level of success. Speaking of your success, what was your first race? One where you're like, actually, you signed up and there was, you know, a potential for a podium.
So the very first one I did would have been Serum in 2021, which was a little different because I had it. It was, you could start with a group if you had a group to start with, but it was more of a time trial format. So yeah, that was just there and went as hard as I could for that 100K, and that went all right. I think the first mass start then would have been a Colfax race in March that year. So I just had to work a few weekend rotations. So I just mostly get on bike reg and look at what lines up with my schedule, what weekends I have free that I can get to.
Yeah. I've done Serum twice, and I'm trying to think, I'm pretty sure it was 2021 and 2022. And I just activated somehow the macOS gestures and had some balloons go up in front of my face. That was surprising. The Serum is fantastic when it's good weather. I want to think the 2021 was pretty nice, was pretty clear, if I remember right. Yeah. Not too much. I haven't done Colfax. That would be one to check out. What have been some of your favorite races since then?
My favorite ones. I think Spotted Horse is a good one. It's a good course, a great time of year for leak changing. It's always enjoyable. I'd like to see more of the Glenwood course than I did this year. The fog we had all morning, couldn't really see anything but the road for the first couple hours.
Yeah. For anybody who doesn't have experience with these races, Serum is a race that's in more south central Iowa. It's in February. The weather can be fantastic or it could be terrible. It starts out of Cummings and loops usually down to the south and then comes back and it's a very early spring ride. Colfax, I'm less familiar with. Spotted Horse is in October, just happened, and you just raced in it, and I just raced in it, although we did two different things. We can talk a little bit more about that. And then for those that maybe aren't familiar with Glenwood, it's on the far west side of the state, Glenwood Gravel. It's part of the Iowa Gravel Series. And it, this year, yeah, had a very crazy weather experience. Joel, were you in that first lead group the whole time? I know when folks came in, Jonathan and Lee and I think it was a sprint finish between you and Jacob Wilson, right? Yeah. At the very end, were you all pretty much together in that lead group for most of the race, or how did Glenwood go, given that it started off with a huge amount of fog, and then I believe there was hail, and then we had to change the course mid-route, and it did dry out, but it was an interesting day. So maybe take me through it. How did that start out?
Yeah, it had broken up a little bit the first couple of hills. I think Johnson really hit it hard and shattered the group. I think after the first one, I just managed to catch back up into a group of five. And then the next one, Johnson went again. Then it was he and Lee were off the front, ahead of three of us. And then I don't know, Lee had a flat or something, but he was stopped at the side of the road. And then just a little bit later, he caught back up to us and did most of the work, I think, in pulling Jonathan back in. That we were back together in a group of five for a while, through the flat part at the south end. Then as we started to get back into the hills, it broke up again. And then that's about the time the thunderstorm came through too. So they'd broken up and come back together for a couple of times, which I think is unusual. I'm more used to if somebody goes, they're just gone in gravel. But I think having Lee drop back with whatever his issue was made a big difference on that end. And yeah, at some point during this rain that like, Jonathan, when he got in, Lee was, can you get on my wheel? I go pull him back and couldn't see anything, guide him. I was like, I'm not sure I got the legs for this either, so I'm just going to let this go. Yeah, it was crazy effort, but got through the reroute. We all made it back to the finish eventually.
Yeah, eventually. Yeah, it was a fun, exciting time, I think, for watching you and Jacob come in. Were you together most of the time, or was he just coming up behind you and that's what caused the sprint? Because by the time we saw you there at the finish line, it seemed pretty close on what was going on there.
Yeah, we had been together basically all day at that point, but just the two of us since Jonathan and Lee had gone off the front, coming back into town. Once we got across 34 and were on that last uphill into town, he went to my wheel and just stayed there. And then the route back to the finish in town is pretty twisty, mostly downhill, fairly fast. So I know the last corner, I was just really trying to take curb to curb, make it harder for him to come around me. And I'm not sure what happened with him exactly. Like I heard his tires squeal. I don't know if you misjudged the corner or what was going on there, but like I heard that and then I just went all out for whatever it was to the finish. Worked out.
Yeah, it did. It was, and that curb to curb must have really helped because that is a tricky little point. If you have any crit racing, it maybe would have helped you out, although I can't guarantee that every corner was swept there on that road. But yeah, your bike handling skills for a sprint finish would really definitely benefit that. Cool. Then let's maybe move over to Spotted Horse a little bit because we just had that and it was a beautiful day. I got to enjoy the 175, so I got a lot of time in the day, and I was not on the competitive end of that. That was not my goal. But 175 in a race scenario was probably the longest distance that I've ever done. So for me, it was more or less, let's see if we can do this type of distance and how it goes. But it sounds like you've done Spotted Horse a couple times.
Yeah, I did it 2 years ago and then this year.
How did 2 years turn out? Were you on close to a podium or in the competitive realm?
I got third and second this year. 2021 was riding with Jake Johnson and a friend of his basically all day. My instinct on it now is that maybe Jake was sandbagging a little bit to stay with his buddy and he was actually better than us. But like at one point with like 20 miles to go, I thought I could attack them. And I maybe got a few seconds for a few minutes. And then Jake pulled me back and they sat on me the rest of the way. And they both beat me in the sprint there. But that was my first time racing against him. And he realized now that how strong he is. He's a tough guy to go against.
Yeah. Now that you're in Des Moines, I know I've seen him ride a little bit with the 515. Are there groups that you tend to ride with a lot out of Des Moines?
My schedule makes it a little tough because my hours are a little more at the end of what most people do. I try to get to the Tuesday Night Worlds ride when I can. I've done Wednesday Night Gravel a couple times. Hopefully going to make it to that tonight. But yeah, some of the 515 is either not early enough or way too early for me. If I'm on first shift, I'm clocking in the middle of when that would happen. If I'm on second shift, I got off work at 10 o'clock the night before and I'm not waking up that early. Meet up with the groups when I can, but it's a little difficult.
Yeah, no, I can understand that. So what was it like for Spotted Horse this year? Coming in second is nice. And yeah, we acknowledge that Jake Johnson's quite a competitor. He's been on the podcast and he, in 2022, was on the podium for the Iowa Gravel Series quite a bit. Yep. We definitely have experience with him. How was your race for Spotted Horse this year, 2023?
It was pretty good. There were three of us that were off the front a lot earlier than I would have expected. I really think it was just like a mile or two. And then it was just like, oh, it's just Jake, Kyle, and I. But so we were riding together for about the first half of the race. And I don't know, maybe like an hour and a half in, I started to feel a twinge. Just like, oh, like, I maybe don't have my best legs today. So when Jake went, I was like, I'm just going to let him go. And then we've got this 18 mile an hour headwind for an hour straight on the way back, whatever it was. Kyle and I were talking. We're like, let's just work together through that. So for the second half, we traded turns for a while. Surprised after the last major hill, I would say is 5 or 6 miles. When you're coming back up at Peru towards the finish there, I'd been at the front through that. And then he came back over and took the lead and was in the front the rest of the way, led up the sprint. But I'd been going better than him uphill most of the day. He could catch up on the flats if we were really trying to make each other hurt, but like we neutralized for most of the part. But so I felt good going into an uphill sprint with him that I was able to get around at the finish.
Nice. Yeah. So that kind of gets me curious about what kind of, now that you've got a few years and several races under your belt and your experience, like what kind of races do you think, actually, I'll even back up. Well, let's not assume. Where are you in terms of your desires? Are you looking for races that you know you're going to be good at? Or are you looking for races right now that are going to challenge you? What are you looking for? I know you mentioned that schedule is always a deal, but it's getting to the point where almost any calendar weekend of the year is going to have a gravel race somewhere, or at least close to Iowa. If you do have a weekend and you have two options of something that you're like, okay, I think this is the course that I'm going to be good at versus, ooh, this is a course that's going to challenge me. Which one are you going to go for?
I think leaning towards the challenge side. I would say gravel racing in general is probably the challenge side for me. When I was a runner, my events were over in less than a minute. I built up with the training that I feel pretty good with a 100K gravel race now, but like it is still maybe not where my natural ability would be. But like the repeated punchy climbs, I think is still something I'm pretty good at from even the training I was doing going back to running. Lower intensity days on the track would be, I do 15 times 200 or like 10 times 300 at what on the track we would call like 75%. But if you're, it's still an anaerobic effort. Now looking at it from like the bike side of training, like the equivalent would probably be doing like 500 watts for a minute and taking a short rest and doing that a dozen times. I think hill sprints is maybe something I'm better at on the bike. It's the higher sustained effort on flats that I think really hurt me on gravel races. I can do it, but that's what wears me down more than bunch recover.
Yeah. Thank goodness you're in the Midwest then with numerous rollers, right? For me, it's the absolute opposite. I, for whatever reason, I can hold 300, 350 watts climbing up a hill for a long time because that's what I grew up with in the mountains. But rollers, tend to go, I've historically gone too hard. And so I've had to relearn how to do rollers and do those interval stuff differently. So it's a challenge no matter what. Like going uphill is hard and going fast is hard. It doesn't get easier, right? You just get faster. So with that kind of in mind, do you still have races that you're lining up this season, or are you starting to think about 2024?
I'm signed up for the Turkey Burner in a couple of weeks here, or I guess week and a half.
So we're close to the Mississippi side. I don't know if it's not in Illinois, but it's on the Iowa side, right?
Yeah. So Luke's in the Quad Cities. I was able to do a few of his races last year. I hadn't made it to any of them this year yet. I signed up for that one. I'd had most of my summer things didn't work out. So it was really just August that I was able to start racing this year. So that's maybe had me extending a little later than to the year that I might otherwise. Yeah. So I got that one on the calendar. And then I think that's it until 2024.
Are you starting to put together that calendar? Do you have an idea of what you want to do?
I'm looking at it. Historically, I have a problem of I plan things out further ahead than most of the other people in my life. So I have to resist the urge to sign up for every race that I can. And then family might be like, hey, let's do something. Like, are you registered for? So I'm resisting the urge to plan too much ahead. From the looks of things, it'll line up a lot better for me next spring, early summer. The calendar looked better.
Do you see yourself sticking to that 100K distance, or do you see yourself maybe looking at a longer distance or different style of events?
I've done some longer stuff this year. The two bigger ones that I traveled to, I did in March before I moved. I was out in North Carolina. There's an event called the Croatan Buck 50 that I have some friends out there that I was visiting them, and also based around this 150-mile race out there and like a national forest / mostly dry swamp. So like it was pancake flat, but like really potholed muddy roads because the water table is 2 inches deep or whatever. So I did that, and I did gravel roads this year, the 150. Both of those, I found that it didn't take much past 100 miles before I started having ankle, knee, whatever, pushing that hard for that long. Didn't seem to quite work with my fit. There's something I got to figure out there. But I think 100K is good. It's a good event distance for me to compete in, to still be pushing myself physically. The first 2 hours usually go pretty well. And then the third hour, it's okay. What have I got today?
I think that's understood. And I think of it as someone who I put myself in the category of if you can't do, you teach. And if you can't race, you direct. And so I look at you folks that are coming in on these 100K distances in that 3 hour mark and everything. And it really is exceptional and amazing in a lot of ways. So I'm always in awe of the folks on these races. I'm going to put a selfish plug for Albia Holy Cow, which if you like the punchy climbs is probably going to be right up your alley. And it's near a little bit closer to Des Moines. So I'm going to, I know that you've got at least a little bit of credit on the Iowa Gravel Series, because for anybody on the podium, we credit them back the registration, because we want you to come back and race with us more. So hope you definitely get a chance to use that a bit. Usually my last question for folks is very big and grand and beyond yourself. I'll try and give you a little bit of time to think about this, but the question is always, if you had a magic wand, what would you change about cycling, the cycling world? Maybe it's fitness, maybe it's community, maybe it's gear, maybe it's yourself. That could be fine. But the real goal here is like, what are the things that you think are really a need or really something that could help change cycling and gravel and this community that we're in Iowa for the better, or maybe the world? You can think that big too. But I'm curious, when I ask if you had a magic wand and you could change something in Iowa, what would you do?
It'd be kind of weird when I was having done Rag Bright much of that, but I feel like that dominates what most regular people in Iowa think of as cycling so much that like their attitude towards this, oh, that it's just like this just like goofy thing that isn't serious or actually all that important. Or like they, if you talk about bike infrastructure for transportation, people don't, they don't think of biking like that. Or the attitude of people to think that a bike is just a toy. And so we don't need to take safety infrastructure, stuff like that seriously. That's maybe more important to me. My commute is pretty short, but I do ride 95% of the time to work. I think I've had three times that I've driven in 6 months since I moved here, and two of those was because I started at 2 a.m. that morning.
So you'd probably look at, could we get the infrastructure, bike lanes, or a little bit more breathing room on the shoulder for cyclists and things like that? Maybe it's something that you'd want to see a little bit more here in Iowa.
Yeah, and just make it easier for more people who aren't physically fit racers to have the comfort to ride their bike places. I think a big part of getting other people to ride for transportation is it being something they feel safe doing. That I think comes down more to infrastructure than anything else.
Yeah, I think you're right. I lived in Michigan, was where I started road riding a lot more. I grew up mountain biking in Utah, spent a good time in the Bay Area in California. And that's where I was commuting to work most days and having a lot of after work rides and things like that. And for the most part, everybody in that area really understood and respected and gave room for cyclists. And there was a lot of infrastructure available. So I got very much used to that. And then moving to Iowa, and I told people I was a cyclist, people were like, "You're not going to ride on the roads, are you?" And I'm like, Yeah, I am going to ride on the roads. They're like, we have one trail. It's the Wabash Trace. That's where we ride. I'm like, no, I'm going to ride everywhere. I'm just going to go wherever I really want, because that's what I want to do. And it would usually take people by surprise. And so I think there is a cultural element there, but I think you're absolutely right. That infrastructure invites that. And somehow we got to start that flywheel of interest, whether it's you build it and they will come, which I don't know if most Iowans love hearing that phrase, or we definitely need like the culture people saying, no, look, I want to ride my bike from here to there and I wish it could. I'm actually going to have a chat with Luke from the Iowa Bicycle Coalition here soon. So maybe that's something that I'll bring up as something that Iowa Gravel Series could do. I'm excited about the idea of trails, but the idea of, what can we do as cyclists to encourage more people to ride anywhere that they want and feel safe and encourage more people to be into cycling, I think that's important. So that's cool. I like that.
Thanks.
Joel, this has been a fantastic time chatting with you and get to know you a little bit. I really do hope to see you a lot more on the Iowa Gravel Series and then any other races. So please let us know what you're up to. And thank you so much for your time.
Yeah, thanks, sir. I'm good.
All right, we'll see you soon.